Hello, welcome back to Under Our Roof. I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Grace, or Semler, depending on how you know me, and I'm pouring myself some coffee.
Hopefully you could hear that. Grace is getting ready to join us. Today's a little bit of an unconventional episode. I mean, the episode content is par for the course, I think, but we are recording this as a voice memo on my phone. There's not going to be the frills, the bells and whistles of the theme song and the editing and the fun little sound effects that Grace sometimes adds, because I have a sleeping 6-week-old baby on my chest, and we're trying to make this happen before she wakes up. And also, we have a lot to do today. So I pitched a little sales pitch to Grace this morning.
Lizzie came to me while I had Francis in the nursery. And I can always tell when you're kind of up to something. You come with me with this devious smile while I'm just rocking Francis, and you're like, I have a sales pitch for you. Just hear me out. And you go full, like, this is your one-woman show PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, so I said, how would it feel? Just think, how would it feel? Put yourself, imagine yourself to sit down on the couch cozy with Francis sleeping on us. Mm-hmm. And just like have a nice little conversation mm-hmm. on our phone, on my phone, talking into it, and something that, you know, maybe other people would want to listen to. And then when we're done having that conversation, we just upload that file, and then we have no more tasks for the day. Actually, we have many tasks, but other things. And like, there's no hours long editing that has to occur today. Mm-hmm. And I sold Grace on it.
She did sell me on it. I dropped off my mom at the airport yesterday morning. And, you know, when you have a guest in town, even when it is my mom, you know, who I'm very comfortable around, I've been putting off some things. And I'm thinking that maybe, because we didn't want to take a hiatus with the podcast, maybe what we end up doing is when we are at capacity, rather than taking a week off, because I don't want to do that, we just do these voice note episodes, and in between we have quality mic'd up episodes, and then we also sometimes have voice note episodes when we're like, hey, we love our house guests, we love being with you weekly, and also I have so many emails that I have not responded to, and it's alarming because I have like a meeting tomorrow. I haven't even seen what is happening tomorrow. And I.
Nice.
It's all going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. I mean, not to toot our own horn, but I am like, that
toot,
is
toot.
Literally fine. We have a newborn child and we're both on maternity leave, sort of. I'm fully on maternity leave mm-hmm. for several more months and we're still making the podcast happen.
Yeah.
Independently. There's no team. It's us.
Well, I mean, our producer Bean is right next to you.
We got a new producer who I have to say is making things harder.
Yeah, she's come into the fold and she has a tight schedule.
Yeah.
She's like, we got to record this podcast and it needs to be this amount of time. But she doesn't tell us what the time frame is.
Ahead of time.
She'll just let us know when we're done.
Yeah, she's like, wrap it up.
I mean, wrap it up would be generous. Usually she's like, it's over. She pulls the plug.
Yeah.
And we're out of there. Oh, and she might be doing that right now.
No, she's settling back down.
This episode, we wanted to talk about what we've been keeping busy with during this very busy season of having a newborn.
Well, and maybe you're going a different direction, but I was thinking we could talk about like, not necessarily queer content for your consideration, because I don't know, there hasn't been so much that we've seen lately. I'm not saying there hasn't existed queer content. We just haven't seen it.
It feels like a little bit of a queer content desert of late.
Maybe. But anyway, but I thought we would talk about not queer content for your consideration, but like our maternity leave content. Because we are consuming a good amount of content. When Francis sleeps, sometimes we need some downtime. What are we watching? What are we occupying our minds with when mm-hmm. we need a little like adult things when we're mm-hmm. not playing with the play gym and the black and white contrast cards on the floor? Because we can talk about Francis's content that she's consuming as well, and it is really interesting.
Riveting for her.
Yeah.
Man, I was playing with her this morning and I switched out one of her contrast cards. So she was looking at one of the contrast cards and I switched it out because I was like, oh, mm-hmm. she's had a good amount of time on this card. And it is like I'm showing her a movie. Like her eyes got wide and she was like, whoa, that is crazy.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we can jump right in and talk about Francis.
We'll start light with Francis's content. This is Francis's content for your consideration, which honestly probably won't be that interesting to you unless – you are high.
That's what or have a baby.
Or you have a baby. But I was like, there's a few things where I'm like, I bet if I was high, this like glider thing would be mobile would be like really cool to look at.
So if you don't know, babies that are as young as Francis can't see that well yet. Actually, I was reading something very interesting. Their eyes work totally fine. It's that their brain hasn't like learned to understand and interpret what their eyes are processing.
Oh. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have noticed her, I mean, this is just how babies are, but her not understanding, like, she'll spit out her pacifier, and then she'll be, like, annoyed that it's not there. And I'm like, oh, you spit it out. But I'm like, oh, the cause and effect, we're so far from her understanding that you did that to you made yourself cry.
I was reading a little booklet of, like, her milestones, and learning cause and effect is a ways away.
I had a feeling. I totally understand, but I kind of watched it happen this morning where she was really enjoying her pacifier. Mm-hmm. I could tell that it was soothing to her while she was looking at a card, and then she spat it out. Like, she didn't hold it in her mouth. She spat it out and then had this like kind of confusing look on her face. Like, what the hell? And I kind of saw if she could find it again with her mouth, and she was, I helped her out.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to be like, girl, you did that. It's sort of like the Eric Andre meme of like, who shot this man? Or like, that's not what it is. Or it's like, who did this? And it's you, Francis. You spat it out.
Yeah. And she doesn't understand, or she just can't interpret visual signals that well yet. So high contrast, so like black and white stripes or like different zigzag patterns that are like black and white normally are a lot easier for her to see. And because of that, it's like very interesting to her when you hold up something like that.
Think of, if you don't know what we're talking about, think of a yin and yang symbol.
Mm-hmm.
That would be and is. I don't know if she's seen one specifically, but those are very similar to the types of images that we would show her.
And we have some like, so her favorite book that we read like every single day is Hello Baby Animals. And it's black and white, like high contrast baby animal shapes that we are like, this is a baby elephant. And for that, I don't know that it doesn't really matter what the shape is. It's just the fact that it's like something that visually she can interpret and see. And so we have black and white cards on deck. We have so many black and white cards. And we specifically have this like accordion zigzag or like, this like fold out thing that stands up on its side and that she can lie on her side and look at it. She gets mesmerized by that. And then we have like three black and white books that we show her. And that's pretty much,
that's the main content, I think, from Francis that she would like to recommend.
Yeah. I also have been playing her a good amount of ABBA.
Yeah. If you want to know what Gen Alpha or Gen Beta is into, black and white cards, my friend. We'll keep you posted, but these days it is the black and white contrast image cards. They are all the rage with the little beta babies.
Yeah, I think she's like the very beginning, basically, of Gen Beta, which has just begun, if I'm not wrong.
So listen to Under Our Roof to stay on top of the trends, because we will have a little bit of a head start if you want to keep up with Gen Beta. if you are a millennial or Gen Z and you want to stay on top of the latest trends, you go get yourself some contrast cards.
Because she actually, I think, technically is like the very tail end of Gen Alpha. Mm-hmm. But Gen Alpha people are like, do you know the Sephora obsessed, like 10-year-olds?
Absolutely.
So there, I saw a video the other day that was like,
I haven't seen an original. I've only seen people responding to.
Yes, me too. But there was a video stitching a group of like 9 or 10-year-olds being like, we're Gen Alpha influencers. Of course we love Sephora. We're Gen Alpha influencers. Like, of course we, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, clearly their parents made it, but it was a little chilling.
Clearly their parents made it?
Well, somebody was filming it. I don't know.
They might have been filming each other. I guess they're 10-year-olds with phones.
I guess that's true.
That's, I think, charitable of you to think that parents, I mean, perhaps, but I think in all likelihood, they are actually 10-year-old influencers with unlimited phone access.
Wow. So anyway, I think like technically Francis is the very like last month of, because I think Gen Alpha went through 2023 and Gen Beta starts in 2024. Mm-hmm. Well, she was born in December 2023. So she's like technically part of Gen Alpha, but I feel like culturally she'll probably align more with Gen Beta because she's like the very end. And Gen Alpha, some people are like already 10. So she's obviously in a very different place.
Yeah, but she's at the age where when she's 10 and they're 20, she'll think those people are like very cool.
Yeah, maybe.
you know?
That's true. But when she's 20 and they're 30, it'll be how Gen Z views millennials now.
Then she's going to be like, who's cool now?
She'll be like, I'm Gen Beta.
She's like, I'm a Gen Beta influencer.
No.
Of course I use contrast cards.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Francis's content. Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple of shows in particular that we are very into right now.
Yeah.
And well, one...
There's one in particular that consumes my ever-loving mind.
There's one that we are liking and we look forward to each week, but The Traitors.
The Traitors.
We can't get enough.
I want to finish the UK one, too.
It's a little bit queer content.
Yeah, there have been queer people on the show, and the host of the US version, Alan Cumming, is queer.
Yeah, the host is queer, and Peppermint, who's trans, was on this season, and yeah, there's always been like...
They're housewives, which feels like queer content.
Yes, exactly. There's so much like Bravo universe people that it feels like queer content.
And I think the housewife universe is only going to get more and more queer.
Yeah.
Friends and family, but I have some intel on the inside about a queer... storyline that's kind of happening in the Housewives Bravo
Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, we might have said too much with that, but I don't know. I don't really know what's out there, but if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it is a duck.
Speaking of ducks,
she wore a duck outfit the other day.
Frances wore a duck outfit yesterday, and we started calling her Ducksworth. Mm-hmm. It's so cute.
It's very cute.
Okay, anyway, so as far as our maternity leave content, The Traitors is at the very top of the list. We've talked about The Traitors on the show before. The season one US, which was last year, is like one of my favorite seasons of reality TV, or really my favorite seasons of TV ever. So fun.
I'm glued to the TV. We were glued.
Yes. Well, and we found it when it was already all the way out. Now we're having to watch it week by week, which is always painful to have to wait.
But. You know when a show is so good? I remember this regrettably after the first season of Cheer before we knew. And it's so good that you get angry that you have other responsibilities.
Yeah.
Well, angry is kind of strong. I don't anger quickly, but I just am so irritated. We would go, I remember we would go and walk the dogs and I'd be like, all I want to do is be watching The Traitors right now. And as soon as it's over, I'm just thinking about how I want more of The Traitors. And I feel like I'm describing an addiction, but I'm okay with that. What's that like TikTok sound? Be like, some people think I'm obsessed with this, and I'm okay with that. I am obsessed with The Traitors. I think it's an excellent reality competition show. And if you're into Survivor, The Challenge, Bravo, Below Deck, I mean, you will like this show.
Yeah. I feel like anyone, if you aren't totally opposed to like reality TV and like a game show, reality TV setup, you will like the show. I feel like anyone would like it.
Just get into it.
Yeah. It's really fun.
What else are we watching?
So we're also watching the new season of True Detective, which comes out tonight. Well, as we're recording this, it comes out tonight. And the first season of True Detective with Matthew McConaughey, which was probably 10 years ago, is another one of like one of the best seasons of TV that I've ever seen. If you've never watched that season, I highly recommend it. That would be so fun to go back and watch it for the first time. So it's on HBO Max. You can totally do that. It is, yeah.
Yes, HBO Max. So, I think it's just Max now.
I'm not saying that.
Do not dead name HBO Max.
No, it's still HBO Max.
Do not dead name Max.
It's still the company HBO that's putting out the content.
I think.
I believe. It's I think they just be. Changed their streaming service name to Max. But I don't know. I guess HBO and Warner Brothers and like Discovery combined. Anyway, you all know what I'm talking about. So the new season, they had a season two and three of True Detective, and each season of True Detective is a standalone show. So like they're each like a mystery united by like common themes, but each season is like its own like movie, basically stretched out over several episodes. So you don't have to watch every season. You can just watch whichever one you want. So I didn't watch seasons two and three of True Detective because I heard they weren't very good. And then season four intrigued us because Jodie Foster is the lead. Queer content, sort of, but not really.
Well, there are queer characters on the show, but it's not who you'd think.
It's not Jodie.
As at least as far as we know. I mean, maybe she's bi. That's kind of what I'm holding out for, is that Jodie Foster is just such a like gay icon.
I know.
That I'm waiting for, I'm like, they got to do something gay with this character. They have not yet, but I believe it could happen. And there are other characters that are queer.
That's true, but they've given zero indication that she would be. But
the other thing that we've talked about since watching True Detective and having Francis is like how different generations will understand or care about sexuality and gender in a show as things become more expansive and progressive. And I'm really wondering about that. Like, I wonder if we'll be watching a show, and because of how we grew up, where there was so little representation, and we still could stand to have so much more, but there was just like really like bare bones representation when we were growing up, that we do care about, we care so much about queer content for your consideration. And if that is going to be so funny to Francis, of like, my moms are always like wanting to know if there's like queer content in a show, like, oh, it's like so lame, it's so millennial of them.
Yeah, who cares?
And it could be, yeah, like it, and that might be totally the path forward, and I will follow Francis's lead the whole way. But I have been wondering about that, if like when you and I are like, oh, like, doesn't seem like Jodie Foster's gay in the show, like, seems like that the queer direction is not what we were anticipating, that Francis will be like, shut up, moms, like,
I know,
who cares, which, yeah.
Yeah,
true. That's probably progress.
And so far, I really enjoy the new season of True Detective. I picked up from the first episode that I thought it might be loosely based, and this is not a spoiler because the creators have said this in interviews. From the first episode, I was like, is this based on the Dyatlov Pass? I think I'm saying that right. The Dyatlov Pass incident from, I think, like the 1960s, which, if you don't know what it is, you can Google it. It's D-Y-L-A-T-O-V, I think.
It's a mysterious disappearance of scientists in the snow.
Yeah, D-Y-A-L-T-O-V. I can't spell without looking at a paper. But anyway, yeah, it's like it's a real life mysterious like disappearance, and then they found them. But anyway.
What happened?
But what happened to them is still a mystery. And the season of True Detective, I was like, wait, this seems similar to that. And then I looked it up, and in interviews like promoting the show, the creators have said that yes, they were inspired by that, but that doesn't mean it'll have the same like outcome necessarily. But yeah, it's like a mystery about some people that were lost in the snow, and it takes place in like very far north Alaska. I love Alaska. I feel like it's such like a romantic kind of wild place to me. Grace and I got engaged in Alaska. And I love like a good setting. So
that you're a sucker for a show that has a good sense of place.
Yes, I really am. In fact, if a show doesn't have a good sense of place, it's like hard for me to get into it. I'm like, where are we? You gotta situate me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were noticing that that's harder on newer shows where they've cut the budgets for location. And so they'll usually do one episode, like the pilot episode, on location. And then the rest of the series will be in a sound studio in Burbank. And sometimes I just feel like I know too much about how TV and movie is made, because I can just tell.
Yeah.
It's the show with The Last Thing He Told Me with Jennifer Garner. Like, I can just tell when what was filmed in Sausalito and then when they are back in Burbank on a soundstage. And it's like, oh, gosh, like, just, I wish that there would have been the budget to film this actually in Sausalito the whole time and like give us that sense of place.
I know. What else are we enjoying?
I was just thinking, I think I'm out because we already talked about Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, so we are watching Grey's Anatomy most nights. We watch like half an episode after Francis goes to sleep. And then also in terms of like content we consume each day, we have been really into Connections.
Oh, I gotta tell you. This is like, from the New York Times. That was Frances. Oh,
she's kind of stirring.
It's possible that we may need to make an emergency exit.
She's settling down.
Okay.
She's sleeping on my chest, by the way. I'm like kind of at an awkward angle, but she's like right here. It's very sweet. So Connections is like this game where you connect four words. Like they give you what, like 16 words, and then they all go into groups of four. So there's four groups of four, but you have to figure out how they go together. So sometimes they're like relatively easy. Like one the other day that for me was easy. Obviously everyone's mind is different, but it was four of the words were Monopoly symbols or Monopoly tokens. So it was like thimble, ship, top hat. And I was like, something's jogging my memory. And then I was like, oh yeah, those are all tokens from Monopoly. Or like there was one the other day that was like heart, brain, courage, home. And I was like, oh, those are like everything from that song, like in Wizard of Oz, like what they're looking for.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, it's different for everyone.
If I only had a brain.
Yeah. And then I remember the part where they each say what they want and they're like, the nerve, a heart, a home, a brain.
The nerve?
Yeah, they use the nerve interchangeably with courage.
Oh.
Courage the Cowardly Lion or whatever.
I don't mean to alarm you, but our producer has started eating her hand, so she might be getting hungry soon. Can y'all hear that? Another comment from Frances. So, content that she's consuming, her literal human hand.
Yeah, she does that when she starts to get hungry. She's like, I will latch onto something, so help me God. Yeah, if it's my hand, then it's my hand.
It's very animalistic. It kind of makes me think, imagine if we acted like babies. Like, you start getting hungry, and you, like, look across, you're just, like, eating your hand.
Yeah, and then, like, you need to go to the bathroom, and you, like, grunt really loud.
Or we were talking about, like, imagine if you had gas and you, like, can feel your tummy gurgling and you're just, like, at lunch with friends. You're like, oh! Because that's what she does. Speaking of, I'm going to start playing our outro song because we are going to need to tap out a little bit early this week and feed our producer. Yeah, she's insatiable.
Play Connections and play Wordle.
We'll be back next week with a full proper episode. Yeah. And we will see you next week for that episode of the podcast that we call
Under
Our Roof.